I saw your photo shoot in Playboy, and I gotta tell you, it was fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Can I ask you to read a station demo real quick?
Sure.
Real basic.
Is it Wieners?
Wieners.
Hi, this is China, the ninth wonder of the world, and you're listening to Wieners Barbecue on 101.9 the ITR.
Yeah, that's an old one, but what are you going to do? All right, everybody, welcome to Wieners Barbecue here on 101.9 FM CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. I am Daryl Wiener, and this is the show called Wieners Barbecue. Lots to do on the show today. We're going to be going to the old horse track. Tom Wolski from the Vancouver province and the Sport of Kings television show will be with us at about 5:40. BJ Bass, of course, my Las Vegas football correspondent, will be with us at about 5:20. 5:05, we're going to go to Thunderbird Football Stadium, head coach Ted Gavea. We're going to talk to him about their big comeback win on the weekend against Alberta and their game coming up this weekend at the University of Regina. Got an interview with Coach Mike Mosier, head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's soccer team. See, normally what we do, but it's a little chopped up today. Normally what we do, I am slurring a little. I got banged up here last week. Just a little shaken up in the old head. Saw the doctor today. And, I'm getting better. I got cut up on the head here last week here. Lydia Massimola, our program manager, station manager, she left a cupboard open, and I got up, and I smashed my head on the cupboard, and it looked like the slightest of head injuries, concussions, they like to call it. Very slight. But, it looks like I got a very, very slight one, and, it's lingering a little, but, the little whiplash in the neck apparently still hurting me a little, but very minor stuff. It's just kind of lingering. So, I'll be a little off at several points during the show. So if you suddenly hear me go off on a tangent that makes absolutely no sense, like, say we're talking about the Canucks exhibition loss to Anaheim yesterday, and before you know it, I'm talking about buttered bread, or maybe you shouldn't have butter with your bread. Maybe you should go with olive oil and vinegar, maybe peanut butter and jelly. If you suddenly just hear me go into something like that, it's caught me a little slack today. Got the very, very slight concussion going on. And, just go with me today. I'm asking for a little leeway on your part, the listener. Also, normally on the show, three things actually. 4:30 to 5, UBC Sports. 5 to 6, other stuff. And if you've listened to me the last 2 weeks, it's been a lot of fun. We've had two live bands in here the last 2 weeks. We had, of course, if you're listening, in our Superbad show, dedicated to the movie Superbad, when McLovin, Christopher Mintz-Plasse was on the show. And Evan Goldberg, one of the executive producers, and he co-wrote it with Seth Rogen. They're both on the show. You also, if you listened to that show in its entirety, got to hear me intro Evan Goldberg with Goldberg beating Hogan for the WCW Heavyweight Championship of the World. It was quite something. It was really quite something. Goosebumps. Anyways, that's normally what we do. Dave Ward, Loose Change Churro was on that day. They were awesome. They were my live band. Last week, when we had John Beliveau on the show, we had Red Eye was here playing songs throughout the show. So we had two bands. Well, today, this band that we're going to start off with today, because it's a little chopped up show here, and we're going to just jump into these guys, very excited to start playing them, because they couldn't come in here live. Why? Because they're a 12-piece band. Can't fit 12 guys in here. It just doesn't work. They are the Five Alarm Funk, local band from Vancouver, and we're going to be playing them a bunch during the show, and we're going to start right off with a song from the Five Alarm Trio. And, I asked Renee to turn off the lights when he left. And now I can't read the song I'm trying to play off of the back of the CD here. All right. There we go. I found it. God, I got to turn these lights on because this is actually not good. My eyes suck. Hot Funk Sunday. That's what we're starting the show off. The band is Five Alarm Funk. When we're back, we're going to get into UBC Thunderbird men's soccer. Going to play an interview with the head coach, Mike Mosier. But without further ado, here is Five Alarm Funk with their song, Hot Funk Sunday.
boys and girls, it's time to travel to a different world. Say it's a world where boss fools run the name and boss players run the game. Say it's a world of fun. It's a world of... In this world of boss fools, I came across some stone sucker. He's a sucker who couldn't believe, y'all. Couldn't believe in the fate and couldn't believe in the fun. Ooh. One thing he didn't know, that funk ain't never going out of style. We're all just skip, scobbing, and scatter back away. From mustaches, strutting, bright flash suits. Never left something. It's a life of grief, soul, and understanding. It's a life of two cups in the morning, cause last night was so damn funky. It's a life I like to lead. Although in the future, it may get a little bumpy, but I ain't concerned.
Welcome back to Winner's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. The band you will be listening today, they are my featured performers. Couldn't come in here live. Why? Because there are 12 of them. It just doesn't work out. Five Alarm Funk, that was them. Okay, everybody, on to some UBC Thunderbird athletics right now. The UBC Thunderbird men's soccer team off to a 1-2-1 start this season. No room to sweat, though, because... Listen to me, the slang today. No room to sweat, though, because they will be hosting the CIS National Championships this year right here on UBC campus, which means, quite simply, they have an automatic berth into the National Championship Tournament. On the weekend, UBC 5-0 winners to Fraser Valley on Saturday and 1-0 losers to Trinity Western on the Sunday. I caught up with the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's soccer team, Mike Mosher, to get his thoughts on the season so far, the weekend, and how their team is doing. So here's my interview with the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's soccer team, Mike Mosher. Okay, here I am with Coach Mike Mosher, head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's soccer team. So, Coach, 1-2-1 in conference play to start the season. You beat Fraser Valley 5-0 on Saturday for your first win of the year. Lost to the number one team in the country, Trinity Western, 1-0 on Sunday. Tell us about your performance on the weekend.
First game, I mean, scoreline obviously reflects, you know, we were very good against Fraser Valley. I wouldn't say that they're, you know, a team that you can expect to beat by a scoreline of that margin every time. I mean, surprisingly, they go over the next day and they beat Victoria 2-0 in Victoria. So good one day, and then the next day I was disappointed, to be honest, with the way we played. It wasn't bad, it wasn't terrible, but it just wasn't. We think we showed a little bit what we're capable of on the Saturday, and then. You know, not so good on the Sunday, losing 1-0.
Is this a slow start for your team, one win in your first four games, or are you guys playing well enough that you don't really have to worry about it right now?
Well, one win in four games just is not good enough. It doesn't matter who we've played, whatever. I mean, it's definitely a slow start. you know, one good performance, maybe half a good performance in, against Calgary after we were down 2-0. You know, we just got to get better. There's a real lack of consistency right now. You know, we will have to get better. But I think that, you know, the best thing is that the pieces are all there.
Right. And at Alberta, at Saskatchewan this weekend, tell us about those matchups.
I mean, Alberta, defending national champion, lost a few key players. They had a slow start as well. Their first weekend, they lost both, including a loss at Fraser Valley and a loss at Trinity, both by 3-1 and then 4-0. So, but they rebounded pretty well this past weekend with two tough road wins. So, you know, should be a good game there. You know, I like how we match up against Alberta. You know, I think, you know, hopefully we'll get a few more bodies back for this weekend as well. I mean, it's a bit of a MASH unit, and thus maybe why there's a bit of a inconsistency within our team. Saskatchewan is probably a surprise to, you know, sort of where they're at this point in time, although we did play them in the preseason and they beat us in overtime. You know, they're not a bad side at all. And, you know, but I think for us, we just look at it. We got to worry about our own house and get ourselves. If we put together two good performances like we did on Saturday, then we should be in just fine shape.
And, Coach, you mentioned that all the pieces are there. You're just not playing that well right now. You are hosting the Nationals. You automatically get into that tournament. So there is time to right the ship, isn't there?
Certainly. Certainly. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's a few injuries out there and maybe some guys. And you know, you do have to look at it in the big picture. You know, hey, we all want to win every game all the time. You know, I think there's a few guys that maybe, you know, if it was pretty dire right now, then they would be out there playing hurt. But we don't have to push too hard at this stage of the game. But it certainly would be nice to, again, be playing a little bit more consistently and better quality performances.
Almost done with you here, Coach. Some players who have played very well for you the first four games of the season.
I think Nico Marcina has been pretty good, fifth-year player. I've liked what he's given us each and every game. Jorge Angel Mira, first-year player, has been good. Not a great game against Trinity the other day, but up until that point he'd been pretty steady. Paul Baia has been pretty good for us, I thought. Playing more at the back, usually a midfielder. Those guys in particular have thus far. Charles Valieras has been pretty good. You know, the first few games and scored a little bit in preseason. Again, not a great game against Trinity. He only played the first half the other day. So there's a few guys. And you know, again, we've had some key players who have been hurt and basically missed half the games to this point in time, too. So
slow start, but no need to push the panic button just yet. Long way to go this season.
Exactly.
All right, there's my interview with Mike Mosier, head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's soccer team. We're going to take another, well, not a break, actually. We're going to keep the music going here on Wiener's Barbecue. When we're back, we're going to be having an interview with the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's football team, Ted Gavaya. But in the meantime, here's another song from Five Alarm Funk. You know, they turn the lights on, and then I turn them off. But now I got them. Okay, this one is called Big City. We're going to be right back after with an interview with football. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. The show is Wiener's Barbecue. Here's another song from Five Alarm Funk. This song is called Big City. We'll be right back.
UBC TV. Check out www.ubctv.ca. Originally conceived in 1990, UBC TV reinvented itself this past year with the launch of www.ubctv.ca. With support from UBC Rec and run by and for students, The site showcases student material ranging from films and music videos to sports, including the production of its own show, UBC Sports Desk. With the goal of getting students involved, UBC TV allows students to submit their content. Viewers have the added advantage of video on demand, allowing them to choose with ease exactly what they want to watch and when. UBC TV is recruiting staff for the next school year. Positions available are IT Director, Marketing Director, Program Director, Producer, Videographer, and Marketing Assistant. Anyone interested is requested to send an email to info@ubctv.ca or to log on to ubctv.ca for more details.
I want to be on your TV so that you might notice me.
We're talking about sports. Who could it be? Believe it or not, it's just me. CITR Sports. Please listen.
So you want to gain the freshman 15? Well, you probably will. So why not gain it ethically? Sprouts, the student-run, not-for-profit grocery store, is now open in the lower level of the UBC Student Union Building across from Travel Cuts in the Wellness Center. Sprouts is committed to providing the UBC community with healthy, locally produced, organic, and fair trade products at great prices. Sprouts will be open from 9:30 to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. So you want to tag a ride on the sustainable gravy train? Sprouts is now looking for volunteers to help out with tabling, outreach, and at the storefront. So just drop by and pick up your application.
Definition for the word shindig. Shindig. Noun. Informal. Definition 1. An elaborate or large dance, party, or other celebration. Definition 2. CITR's annual Battle of the Bands.
It's that time of year again. Shindig. CITR's annual Battle of the Bands. Come on down every Tuesday to hear Vancouver's best unsigned bands duke it out every week. Past contestants have included The Saltines, Clover Honey, Dandy Wind, They Shoot Horses, Don't They, Victoria Victoria, and 3 Inches of Blood. Shindig promises killer prizes for the winners, entertainment for the viewers, and, as always, the dreaded jokes for beer.
Dogs are different than cats, and hey, what if Jack Nicholson were a Flamity Blue?
Hey, what if, We Are the World was sung by the cast of Friends? I think it might go something like this. All right, you know.
Shindig kicks off on September 11th and continues for the following 8 Tuesdays at the Railway Club, located at 579 Dunsmuir Street. Doors open at 8 p.m. and show starts at 9:30. Shindig is brought to you by CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Join us on September 20th to celebrate the launch of A Matter of Taste, Ceramics and Culinary Connections, a new guided tour linking the amazing variety of food and drink-related ceramics in the Kerner Ceramics Gallery with the unique history of the cuisine they once contained.
The launch includes introductory remarks by ceramics curator Dr. Carol Mayer, a talk by celebrated food historian and author Dr. Ken Albala, period music by Lark in the Evening, and samples of early, modern European cuisine.
This is a public event, but pre-registration is required. To register, please call reception at 604-822-5087. Admission is free for all UPC staff, students, and faculty. For more information, please visit www.moa.ubc.ca. A lot of niggas wish to die.
you need to holy horses, there's bigger fish to fry. You're on the list, if not, pick a number spot. 10 and a half, Tim's is made to kick your bumper clock. I could have had a V8 F-150 quad cab, but I'm...
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CIT Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Well, having a little trouble tracking down Coach Gavaya. Maybe we'll try to get a hold of him a little later on in the day, if possible. If possible, could be a little tough, but we'll just sort of see as things go. So, yeah. Once again on the show today, folks, the band you are hearing throughout is Five Alarm Funk, local Vancouver 12-piece band. Check out their MySpace page if you like what you've heard so far. At 5:20 on the show today, folks, we're going to have our NFL talk with BJ Bass from Nevada, Las Vegas. And then after him, at about 5:45, we're going to be having Tom Wolski from the Vancouver Province and Sporting Kings television show. Going to be talking a little horse racing. It's the BC Derby going on the weekend. And what's going on with the track? You know, we got to get our update here on the slots. And really, you know, just nice to check in with Tom Wolski every once in a while. So, yeah, that's the show today. All right, folks, we're hoping to have Ted Gavaya on the show, head coach of the UBC Thunderbird football team. Unable to get a hold of him, however. A huge, huge win for the UBC Thunderbird men's football team on the weekend. A 24-23 comeback win over the Alberta Golden Bears. Basically, all you got to do, folks, is to put this game in perspective. UBC, which now has a record of 2 wins and 1 loss, trailed Alberta 23-0 very early in the second half. As a matter of, I mean, you know, UBC, got to give them all the credit in the world. Doug Goldsby, the quarterback, had a big comeback day for the UBC Thunderbirds. Chris Chitsky on the ground, and UBC just getting it done against the Alberta Bears on the weekend. UBC, they got to go out and play Regina on the weekend. And good start for Coach Gavaya and this football team. A record of 2-1 to start the year. So there you have it. But a huge comeback win for UBC. 24-23 winners. They trailed 23-0 early in the second half. UBC, to win this game, had to recover an onside kick late. All that kind of stuff was going on. A great win for the Thunderbirds. Well, you know, we're going to go on a little different topic here. Is on Saturday, Friday night and Saturday, it is Yom Kippur, the Jewish holiday. And, you know, as a Jew, I am Jewish. Why am I talking about it on a sports show? Is there is actually a very simple way of talking about Yom Kippur on a sports show. Is this is the day of the year where, if you're an athlete, if you work for a living, we're talking Friday night and all day Saturday. They're wondering what I'm talking about right now, but here is what I'm talking about. This is the day of the year, Friday night this year and Saturday. So the general working population, this does not affect at all this year. But it does always affect every year. And this is sort of the famous part, at least for me, in pop culture growing up, is Yom Kippur and, you know, baseball players and what they've done and what they still currently do. Is what it is, Yom Kippur, this Friday night, ends all day Saturday. It's the holy day of the year on the Jewish calendar. You are not supposed to play. It is really that simple. And, you know, it's gone on. There are two Jewish baseball players who are currently in the Hall of Fame that really did this in the famous moments of all time, Hank Greenberg and Sandy Koufax. You know, the story goes Sandy Koufax refused to pitch in Game 1 of the 1965 World Series. And, you know, that is one of the, you know, you go to Hebrew school as a kid, and they will tell you the story of how Sandy Koufax wouldn't pitch in Game 1 of the World Series. And the famous line that came out that day is Walter Alston, the manager for the Los Angeles Dodgers, who ended up beating the Minnesota Twins in 7 games in the World Series that year, goes out to take out Don Drysdale after he's been roughed up in that game, Don Drysdale, a Hall of Fame pitcher in his own right. Koufax Drysdale, one of the greatest 1-2 pitching combinations of all time. Don Drysdale sitting there on the mound. He's just been roughed up in a game where if Sandy Koufax hadn't skipped it because of Yom Kippur, Koufax would have been pitching that game. And Walter Alston comes up to Don Drysdale and says, Drysdale said to Walter Alston as he went to take him out of the game, he said the now famous line, "I bet you wish I was Jewish too." So there you go. Anyways, just a little quick thing I decided to bring up there. And Hank Greenberg missed a big game in a pennant race 1 year for the Detroit Tigers. He was their star slugger. Both of these guys deciding not to play. And, you know, I'll be keeping my eye this year. I'll be keeping my eye. I don't know what I would do in a similar situation, but, you know, Kevin Youkilis on the Boston Red Sox, Gabe Kapler on the Boston Red Sox, Jason Marquis of the St. Louis Cardinals, will he be pitching? That's where he is. Actually, he might be a Cub now. I can't remember. Anyways, it's just something, you know, Bud Selig, Commissioner of Baseball, will he be at a game? Probably not. But it's just sort of one of those things. Sean Green. See, it's a little different now because it's played during the end of the season when it's not the World Series, it's not the playoffs, it's the pennant race. And there was a big thing for the Los Angeles Dodgers a couple years ago. Sean Green said, "I'll play on Kol Nidre, which is the Friday night this year, but I won't play on Yom Kippur on the Saturday in the day." And Sean Green went up on the Friday night, hit a home run, and the Dodgers won the game. But just thought I'd give the little story of how this weekend, this Friday night and Saturday, and I will be keeping my eye open. There are a lot of Jews currently in Major League Baseball. Let's find out who's going to play and who's not. I'm not judging anybody. I don't know what I would do in that situation. But Koufax didn't pitch and Hank Greenberg didn't play. The two greatest Jews of all time took those days off. So just thought I'd give you a little quip there. But there's actually, you know, in 1995, the story with Koufax, you know, yarmulkes. You can buy Koufax yarmulkes sometimes, pay lots of money for that stuff. But all that. So anyways, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM. We're going to play a little more Five Alarm Funk. When we're back, we're going to get into BJ Bass and a little NFL talk. And there you have it. So you're listening to 101.9 FM. everybody. Welcome back to Winner's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Once again, the band we're listening to today, the Five Alarm Funk. That song was Gabe's Revenge. BJ, did you like the little bit of Five Alarm Funk that you heard?
Yeah, it's a great name, too, actually.
Yeah, there you go. Awesome. So with us right now, BJ Bass from Nevada, Las Vegas. And BJ, before we get into some NFL talk, is this Sunday we have our inaugural, right?
Yep.
Hockey pool keeper draft. And you and I are partners, and it's actually going to be in an auction format. I think it's going to be really fun. And you're a little worried that former CITR football color commentator Sammy Goldman also used to host the show with me, and we did a morning sports show, that if he's in this pool, he might be joining Gabe Davis, who's also in the pool. He was on the band Red Eye. They were playing live last week. You're a little worried if Sammy joins the pool, eh?
Well, yeah, the guy's a machine, man. He knows every single player that's ever played in the NHL from, like, 1980 to current time. I mean, the guy's insane.
And you mentioned we should try to get him on our team and call ourselves the three the three amigos.
Yeah, you know, you could be Chevy Chase. I'll be Martin Short, and Sam will be Steve Martin.
And he's the guy who got the girl in the end too. Sammy can have the girl.
Lucky Day, wasn't that his name?
Lucky Day. Who was Lucky Day? I thought that was
Chevy Chase.
Yeah, that was Chevy Chase. That was Chevy Chase. But however, BJ, is what I was going to bring up was the three of us, we actually had wrestling names. We were a three-man wrestling crew when we were about 9 and 10 years old, respectively.
That's true.
And I was Don Sutton, I believe.
And, we were the Necro brothers.
You were Joe and Phil Necro.
Right.
I just thought I'd bring that up. I just wanted to bring that up. Okay, BJ.
A blast from the past.
I just wanted to bring that up. Okay, BJ, let's get into a little National Football League talk. And, you know, it's week two now. So we're starting to learn about these teams now. We don't know that much yet, but we're starting to learn here. And the question is, New Orleans Saints, the darling of the NFL last year,
yep.
They go into Indianapolis, get blown out week one. Fine, that could happen. Bad night. Going into Tampa Bay and to at one time be down in that game, I think it was 28-0. I mean, what's going on with these New Orleans Saints? Is it week two, week one jitters, or is it now something to watch with this football team?
Well, listen, I think it's still a tad early to know for sure. You know, week one, going into Indy, you know, Indy home opener Thursday night, just won the Super Bowl. I mean, that's an impossible game. You almost can't count that game. The loss against Tampa in Tampa, that hurts a little bit. It makes you question a little bit. Keep in mind, it's still very early in the season. You know, we've seen teams start the season 0-2 and win the Super Bowl. So it's not time to panic just yet. That being said, you know, the amazing offense that they had last year, Drew Brees and Reggie Bush using them all over the field and a really, you know, heartwarming defensive effort, you're not seeing that this year. And I think it is definitely a question of concern, but it's not time to throw in the towel just yet, I don't think. You know, this week they're coming back home, their first game in the Superdome. Monday Night Football. You know, I think the Saints are going to win this week. I think the Saints have to win this week, especially on national TV. And if they don't, then it's definitely time to start panicking a little bit.
Because, BJ, I will say to our listeners right now, you're 3 of 4 both weeks picking winners for us.
Yeah, I'm batting 75% here. It's pretty good.
So you're going with the New Orleans Saints to win at home versus a Tennessee Titan team that looked very good, if not excellent, just losing out to the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, and not only that, but they actually, you know, that series, it should have continued. I think was it Roydell Williams who dropped the pass? Or I think Brandon Davis dropped the pass on third down, wide open, had it in his hands, inexplicably dropped it. That drive should have continued. They only needed a field goal to win, so that they really should have probably won that game.
BJ, I believe it was Brandon Jones, and I think they took him off I think they took him off the field right after that.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, you know, listen, I'm not saying that what these guys do is easy, but, you know, with that, and then you saw Justin McCarron in New York drop what should have been a touchdown pass in the fourth quarter to complete a Jets comeback. I mean, these guys, you need to catch the ball. That's what you're getting paid to do. You're getting paid a lot of money. And Tennessee should have won that game. He catches that ball, and that drive continues. You know, he drops it, and they stack the line on fourth down, and they get Vince Young. Tennessee is really, a solid football team. It's, you know, they've won 8 of their last 9 games or something like that. They beat Indy. They played Indy tough again. This is a team that's definitely moving in the right direction. But, you know, going into New Orleans has to win that game at home. You know, the Superdome, ever since Hurricane Katrina, has really become a very tough place to play because the Saints are a representative of that city, and everybody, you know, pours their heart into it. And, you know, they have that voodoo lady that comes in and, like, puts voodoo spells on the opposing team and, you know, giving up less than a touchdown. I think it's 4.5 points right now. That's a play that I'm definitely going to make.
I have an upset special.
Okay.
A straight-up upset special.
Ooh, money line. Okay.
Yeah, I got a money line upset special. A team that looked very good beating a who cares against Kansas City Chiefs team week one. And last week they go into Carolina and beat that team real bad. They've got two real good defensive ends. And I think it's time. Houston is going to beat the Indianapolis Colts this Sunday.
Interesting. And at home as well. And listen,
at home,
you know,
yep.
Indy looked great against New Orleans. Didn't look so good against Tennessee, a team that seems to kind of have their number. And, you know, we talked about Houston last week, man. You know, this is a team that's definitely going in the right direction. It's really a team that's kind of come out of nowhere. And every season we see teams that no one expected to be decent be good. And it really looks like Houston is that team this year. Once again, it's only week two, and things can happen. I mean, there's teams that we're talking about now that are 2-0, whether it be the Detroit Lions or Houston or San Francisco, that are going to completely fall apart. That being said, you know, I would be a little bit more comfortable taking the points against Indy just because it's Indy. All right, I feel you.
Well, the other one is, I mean, Beej, Matt Schaub, he's looking real good. And Mario Williams on the defensive line, people pretty soon might be saying, we apologize for saying you definitely should have taken Reggie Bush.
Well, and especially with the season Bush is having. And yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, Schaub looks like the real deal there. And in Atlanta, they have to be kicking themselves. Obviously, they could not have predicted that Michael Vick would be suspended for the year and going to jail. But, I mean, if he's their quarterback there, they may be competitive this year. He does look really good. And, you know, this, I think this will be a great test for Houston. Because, you know, the two teams they beat, Carolina kind of in the middle of the pack. Kansas City's obviously going to be garbage this year. This is a great test and a great indication of whether Houston's going to be a real deal or whether they're just a pretender.
Atlanta looking real bad so far. You got to figure a cuss word or two has been thrown Michael Vick's way from the front office since to themselves in their own little war room since the season has started, hey?
Well, you know, we talked about it. There's no pressure in Atlanta. Nobody thinks they're going to win a game this year. You know, the season's pretty much a write-off there. Why did it take 3 weeks to get Leftwich in is what I'm trying to figure out. They signed Byron Leftwich today, you know, who the Jacksonville released him like a week before the season started. I want to know why it took this long to even get him there. Obviously, he needs to learn the system. He needs to learn the playbook. He probably won't play until, you know, week 7 or 8 of the season. He will be the starting quarterback in Atlanta by the time the season's done. But I don't know why they even waited. Obviously, somebody thought Joey Harrington could get it done. And that person needs to have their head examined.
Well, Jacksonville will be this week traveling into Denver, and Broncos 2-0. I don't want to talk about them. Was that fair play, Mike Shanahan calling the timeout as late as he did?
Well, of course it's fair. And, you know, it's funny now that, you know, they're people are hailing Shanahan as a genius. Because what is icing the kicker like a new thing? I mean, it's something we've always seen, something that's not new. You know, the new rule being that the coach can call the timeout is kind of the new wrinkle on it. But, you know, I mean, of course, the guy's going to kick a 50-yard field goal, you ice the kicker, and it ended up working out. And I got to tell you, you know, it's, you know, Denver hasn't looked great in getting to 2-0. You know, Jay Cutler has been very workmanlike in doing what he needs to do, putting up decent numbers, and he's done a good job of managing the team on the field. But, you know, winning two games like that on, you know, back-to-back game-winning field goals, again, you know, we talk about building character and things that happen in the season that you build on, and it brings your team closer together. And I think that those were two big wins for Denver, especially how they did it. The question, you know, again, this is a big game for Denver because we want to see them actually beat a good team and beat them solidly. And I think that they're going to do that this week against Jacksonville. I'm not really buying into the whole Jacksonville thing. I think when you fire your starting quarterback a week before the season starts, there's stuff going on there that gets into the players' heads, gets into the locker room. I want to see Denver really kind of come out and do something good this week and really beat Jacksonville. And to be honest, you know, 3 points at home, I'm going to lay those 3 points. That's another game I like this week.
Denver to win at home versus Jacksonville. BJ, I will say this. Even if Denver wins this week, granted, they barely beat Buffalo. Let's remember that. And yep. They beat the Oakland Raiders at home this weekend, last weekend. Even if they beat Jacksonville at home, we will know about this team in week 4. Just so you know, they travel to Indianapolis. That's when we're going to know who the Denver Broncos are.
Absolutely. And you know, Darryl, it's the little things that they're doing now that can give the team the confidence to go in against Indy and maybe pull something out. You know, I like the direction that it's going in for Denver. And you know, we talked about it in week 1. I'm a little biased. I have the Broncos at 30-1 to win the Super Bowl. So, you know, I'm looking for things there. But, you know, winning 2 games like that, you know, it builds character and it's things that you can build on in the locker room.
How bad are the New York Football Giants?
Wow. Unbelievably terrible. You know, what's the over-under on Coughlin getting fired? Do you think it happens during the season?
I thought the over-under would have been 6 games into last year, personally. 6 games into last year. How does he still have a job, honestly? Who's he sleeping with?
You know, I think it was something last year where management had kind of, you know, built this team of Coughlin and Eli Manning. And they went in and they got, you know, Chris Palmer to come in and be the quarterback's coach and work with Eli. And Eli's looked pretty good this year. And I think it was something of like, well, let's give it one more year. Let's see if Eli can kind of cross that barrier to becoming a great quarterback. And let's see if we can make it happen. Of course, Tiki Barber retires. He says he retired because of Coughlin. And, you know, it's just the injury bug has really hit them. We saw Jeremy Shockey, you know, drop a really key pass on 4th down on Sunday. We saw Shockey get a penalty spiking the football. So, you know, this team could be a little bit better. They're garbage. They're terrible. They're going to have major issues all year. How Jared Lorenzen is your backup quarterback going into the season. Yeah, they're having issues, man. It's going to be a long year in New York, a very long year.
What's the spread, them going into Washington? I got to take the Redskins straight up, but what's the spread there?
New York's getting 4 going into Washington.
Oh, no. Oh, they ain't covering that. They ain't covering that.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, not only that, but next week, New York is hosting, or in week 4, New York is hosting Philadelphia. So these are two big division games for the Giants. And they got to put something on the field. They have to put some sort of effort together. They need to show the fans in New York that something is going to happen there. You know, at least some flashes of brilliance or flashes of a direction. Because you know how it is in New York, man. It's going to start getting real nasty in the Meadowlands Stadium.
I always like to point out, BJ, they don't play in New York. They play – hello?
Yeah, they play in New Jersey.
They play in New Jersey. Let's remember that. It's the New Jersey Giants and the New Jersey Jets, okay?
Yes, sir.
You're taking Washington, too, to cover, I take it?
Yeah, you know, I don't know that that's necessarily a, you know, one of my 4 bets. Okay. There's some other stuff I like on the board just because, you know what, Washington didn't really show me much last night that impressed me. Philadelphia clearly looks like garbage. They're going to have problems all year. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, I think Washington's going to win. But, you know, when you get into those division games, you know, weird things happen. And so, you know, I don't know. It almost feels like something weird could happen, you know?
Kerry Kolb, is that the guy's name in Philly?
Kevin Kolb, yeah.
Kevin Kolb. Keep your eye on him in about week 8, week 9.
And I'll tell you what, he looked really good in the preseason. And you know, last night, you know, the Monday Night Football crew, which is absolutely terrible. Tony Kornheiser is a great sports guy, but he's like you calling a game. You know what I mean, Darryl? He's like getting you in a booth. They had Charles Barkley in there, and Charles Barkley talked about being a superstar athlete in Philadelphia and, you know, the things that you need to succeed and getting booed and the tough skin you have to have in Philly. And you're right. I mean, you know, how long is this thing going to last with McNabb? And you know, is he their best answer to win now? Probably. But you never know what's going to happen. Andy Reid's going to find himself under a lot of pressure there if they keep losing games. You know, especially Detroit coming in this week. You know, Detroit's 2-0. I mean, how great was that win for Detroit? John Kitna, you know, with a, gets a concussion, comes back off the bench. Does this guy not know how to slide?
What about the reception he made, too?
that was a really gutty performance by Kitna. You know, he said that Detroit was going to win 10 games this year. You know, it's it seems a little high, but listen, they're off to a 2-0 start. If they go into Philly, they beat Philly at home again. You know, Philly, there's just like in New York, it's going to start getting real nasty in that stadium.
Are you taking Detroit to win that, or is that not one of your four?
That's not one of my four. I'll tell you which game I really like. I like the Oakland Raiders. They're giving up 3 at home to Cleveland. I think Cleveland, you know, what happened to Cincinnati?
What happened to Cleveland in that game also? What happened in that game? How's that?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, 11 passing touchdowns, 12 touchdowns in total, one of the highest scoring games in NFL history. You know, Cleveland has some nice weapons. They have some good weapons out there. I don't buy the reemergence of Jamal Lewis. You know, I have major questions about the Cincinnati defense. If they're going to give up over 50 points to Cleveland, I mean, you know, I think it's more. You got to look at that game as more of a question to the Cincinnati defense rather than a statement by the Cleveland offense. You know, those two teams have always had great games, and they've had some really high scoring games in the past. But you know, how do you let Jamal Lewis rush for 200 yards, and then on top of it, you let Derek Anderson throw 5 touchdowns against you? You know, the Cincinnati defense, you got to really be questioning that. You know, and I think it's going to be a little bit of a letdown for Cleveland. I think they're going to be coming up really high. Derek Anderson's the answer at quarterback now, which we know is not true. We saw him play last year. And going into Oakland, you know, Oakland really, you know, losing that game against Denver last week where Janikowski kicks a field goal. They're congratulating Lane Kiffin on his first win as head coach. And then they go back and kick it again and miss. You know, I think Oakland going back home into the black hole, I think they're going to beat Cleveland. You know, I don't understand why Dante Culpepper isn't starting at quarterback. They've come out, they said McCown is going to start again for Oakland. I mean, this is a guy that looked like garbage last week, threw 3 interceptions, threw for less than 75 yards, not even 100, and you have Dante Culpepper sitting there. I would get Culpepper in the game if for nothing else, if Oakland's going to scrap the season. And they're waiting for Jamarcus Russell to learn the playbook, and they're going to throw him to the Wolves at some point. They're at least similar quarterbacks, Culpepper and Russell. You know, bigger guys, you know, a little bit more mobile, not like Culpepper is going to be all that mobile after, you know, his knee surgery. But, I mean, they're very similar quarterbacks. And if nothing else, you know, at least work the offense around Culpepper so Russell can see what it's going to look like when he's in there at quarterback. Regardless, I think Lamont Jordan is going to be the key to Oakland. I think they're going to pull it out against Cleveland. I like that game.
Well, and the other thing with Josh McCown is Lamont Jordan was tearing Denver apart, and they still couldn't throw the ball.
Yeah, I mean, McCown really does not look good, and he doesn't look like he's a guy that's a realistic answer as a starting quarterback in the NFL. Plus, he's playing with a broken finger on his throwing hand and an injured foot. I mean, it's not like Peyton Manning's banged up, but you keep throwing him out there because he's Peyton Manning. It's McCown, Josh McCown. You know, I mean, I don't get why he is still playing, and I think that it's only another week until Culpepper, you know, comes out as the quarterback. But I do think that more than I'm betting on Oakland, I'm betting on Cleveland to come back down to earth, look like the way they did against Pittsburgh in Week 1, and really have some problems moving the ball against you know, a decent Oakland defense.
Two more games, Beach. We'll let you on your way. Just want to ask you these: is Green Bay 2-0 right now? We'll be hosting San Diego, and I'm a LaDainian Tomlinson fantasy football owner, as you know. Here's a guy who's been shut down by Chicago. He's been shut down by New England both weeks. San Diego's really had trouble putting up points. If San Diego goes into Green Bay and again has trouble putting up points, it is time to worry for that offense, isn't it?
Well, you know, I think the biggest problem is not Tomlinson. It's the receiving core. And, you know, going into the season, Vincent Jackson was supposed to be the answer at receiver for San Diego. The guy has looked absolutely terrible. You know, you've seen touchdown passes bounce off his pads instead of getting caught. You've seen him making really dumb decisions out there. You know, you can only throw to Antonio Gates so often. And now, you know, what defenses are doing is they're stacking the line. They're putting seven men in the box to stop Tomlinson. They're putting an extra guy on Antonio Gates, so he's getting double teamed. And there's no other weapons out there. There's no one else for Phillip Rivers to get the ball to. Granted, you know, they've played two unbelievable defenses and probably two of the best defenses in the National Football League. So, you know, is Tomlinson going to break out? Or are we going to see LT again? Of course we're going to see him. It's only week two. And, you know, maybe this is the week that Green Bay kind of comes down to earth a little bit. You know, they pulled one out on opening week against Philly. They beat a really beat-up Giants team last week. You know, maybe this is the week that they do it. You know, however, it is in Lambeau, and it is in Green Bay. Realistically, I mean, you got to look at San Diego to do something. I mean, they're just too good of a team to do that. You know, as far as a football better, you know, right now the line's at 4.5 or 5 points that, you know, Green Bay's getting at home. If that goes up to a touchdown, I'm going to really look at taking Green Bay and getting the points at home. But I think San Diego needs – I think it's fine. They need to do something. I mean, they really do. And the way that they got beat on Sunday night was so embarrassing, and they came out, oh, this is – we're going to take them. We're going to get them. We're going to get them. And, I mean, they were never in that football game, never once. So, you know, that's embarrassing for a team like San Diego, and I think that maybe they kind of spend this week refocusing on what they need to do to win, going back to kind of some of the things they did last year. And you know, I think of nothing else, you know, I think it's a decent play for San Diego because the offense needs to wake up at some point.
Yeah, I watched a little of it, but I was watching Yankees-Red Sox that day. Yankees-Red Sox.
Good for you. You know how I feel about baseball. I think the entire thing's a joke.
Dallas at Chicago. This is a fun one. The great defense of the Bears taking on this Dallas offense, which is putting up huge numbers in the first two games. This is a fun one, actually. This is a fun little matchup.
Yeah, no, it really is. And it's going to be a great game. And you know, I think we're going to – Tony Romo looks really, really good. And he looks like he's going to be the real deal. And you know, the great thing about him is, you know, he's not really playing with a contract. And so this is a contract year for him. And the better he plays as we go forward, the more money that Jimmy Jones or Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, is going to have to pay him. And he really looks like the answer there. Looks like him and T.O. have really developed, you know, a nice repertoire together. You know, the two-headed quarterback dragon of Marion Barber and Julius Jones, and a really solid defense. I mean, they didn't look great against the Giants. Looked a little bit better last week. You know, this is a game that you know, I don't want to bet on because you have no idea what's going to happen. You know, I've already told you, listen, I took the Kansas City Chiefs plus the points last week, knowing that they're probably going to be the worst team in the league this year because Rex Grossman can't do anything. The Bears' offense cannot do anything. The defense is keeping him in games. We saw Devin Hester run a punt return back for a touchdown, you know, really, you know, giving him the win last week in Kansas City. You know, I think this is going to be a really interesting game and a fun game. Like you said, I think this is a game that, you know, you don't bet on. You just watch because you're a football fan. As far as who would I like, listen, I've said I'm not going to lay points with Chicago all year, so I guess I'm going to have to continue that and take the Cowboys plus the field goal.
And, BJ, who wins between us in our fantasy football pool matchup this weekend? We're going head-to-head for the next 2 weeks.
Well, hopefully me. You know, I really scrapped my season. I think my season's done in week two. I feel like Herman Edwards a little bit. You know, it's only week two, but you know you're going to suck. That's kind of what I feel like. But that being said, it is you. You're my mortal rival in this league, so hopefully I take you down. I do have a great record against you.
I'm 1-1, you know. I'm 1-1.
What's my record against you?
Let's pull it up on the old computer. So I've got my – John Kitten is having a big year for me. I got my Marshawn Lynch. What was a Jericho Cotchery for me on the weekend?
You know, Darryl, I'm glad you bring that up. I think that's another game that I like this week. I like the Jets to come back. Pennington looks like he's going to start at quarterback. And in the same way that LT has faced some really great run defenses, you've seen Thomas Jones face some also really great run defenses. And actually, you know, Baltimore and New England is very similar. I'm looking at him to break out a little bit more, get the running game more involved, open up the field for guys like Cotchery and Coles, and only giving up a field goal. I like the Jets in that one.
You lead the all-time series 6-4.
I think you've got me a couple times. Now let me ask you a question, Daryl.
What's up?
New England looked unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
They have both games.
I mean, this has to be the favorite to win the Super Bowl. You know, forget about the videotape. You know, they went out there and put a whooping on San Diego, and I think they did it to kind of show everybody and kind of shut everyone up a little bit. If you're, would you lay 17 points with Buffalo coming in?
No, I like Buffalo.
I think so too, and you know, especially division game. You know, division games are always tighter. New England and Buffalo, two teams that have a lot of history and really don't like each other too much, and you're getting over two touchdowns in the NFL. I like Buffalo a lot as well.
I think
not to win the game, but to cover the spread.
I think Buffalo can hang tough. Houston Texans, Beach. That's my star pick of the week. That's my shoe-in of the week. My lock of the week.
Yeah, your lock of the week.
Remember that, The Simpsons, when the guy brought out the lock?
Yeah.
My shoe-in of the week.
Daryl, another thing really interesting that kind of came out today in the NFL about, you know, Belichick and the videotaping and the spying is Brian Billick from Baltimore came out today and said he thought the New York Jets cheated last week. They thought that they were stealing Baltimore signs this week.
Okay, you know what? I'm getting sick of this. What these teams have to do? Come up with better signs.
I'll bring this up real quick, and then I'll let you go. Bill Simmons, who's a writer for ESPN, and a phenomenal writer, and you can read his stuff on Page 2 on ESPN if your listeners want to read some really great sports writing. He brought up the idea that Belichick thought the Jets were stealing New England signals, because there's a lot, you know, Mangini was one of Belichick's guys. There's a lot of coaches that are on the Jets coaching staff that have worked for New England, and that he was taping the Jets to see if the Jets were stealing New England signals. Kind of an interesting concept that I wouldn't really put past Belichick.
I don't even find this interesting. How's that?
Fair enough.
Awesome. Good stuff, Beach. Great luck. So once again, your four big picks. New Orleans to win at home versus Tennessee. And you're taking Houston to win versus Indy to cover the spread?
No, I'm going to do – I'll do the Jets.
Okay, the Jets.
I will do Oakland, and Oakland is my luck, and Denver. I'll stick with those four. Actually, all favorites, which is kind of strange, but I'll do it.
Okay, and I'm going – I'll go with you on – I will actually disagree with you and take Tennessee to cover versus New Orleans.
Okay.
And I will take, of course, Houston is my shoo-in of the week. How about this, Beach? My Yom Kippur pick.
Okay.
My Yom Kippur pick, and I'll go Denver to win at home versus Jacksonville. Why not? And is that four? And I will do. Yeah, I'll take Oakland too. I like Sebastian Janikowski. I'll do that too.
All right, you've now convinced me to take Cleveland. Thanks.
Are you? Would you play? Because I talked about this earlier in the show. We went over Koufax. Would you, if you're a baseball pitcher, a player, would you be playing on Yom Kippur? Or would you take the day off?
Of course, no, of course not. And if for no other reason than to honor Sandy Koufax.
There you go. It's true. We're not even religious, but you know, that's one of the few times we actually paid attention during Hebrew school. Hey.
Yeah. Exactly.
Awesome.
That and Hank Greenberg, the spy outfielder for Detroit.
No, that's Mo Berg.
Oh, he was a spy in World War II?
Yeah, but Hank Greenberg was like the star outfielder, star first baseman for Detroit.
There you go.
The catcher was the spy. That's the Mo Berg story. It's a great book.
Yeah, absolutely.
The catcher was a spy. Awesome. Thanks, Beach.
Thanks, man. Bye.
All right, we're going to take a final break here on Wiener's Barbecue. When we're back, Tom Wolski from the Vancouver Province and the Sport of Kings television show. You are listening to 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Here's another song from Five Alarm Funk. This one is called Ain't No One Man.
Bigger than this man!
everybody. Welcome back to Winners Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CHA Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Once again, the band we're listening to today is Five Alarm Funk. That song was Ain't No One Man, but here is a man on the phone with us right now, a guy who's been very busy when I've talked to him the last couple days, Tom Wolski from the Vancouver Province. So, Tom, you're on the move right now. You willing and dealing? You shaking around here? What's going on?
We're shaking and baking, Dale. Shaking and baking.
Awesome, Tom. So let's get to the track here. BC Derby coming up this weekend. Tell us about the year so far at Hastings Park and what we can expect this weekend.
Well, this is where all the money goes on the line. This is, they're promoting it, and it is, realistically, it's the biggest weekend of horse racing in this province, and when you have a BC Derby, that's what everybody wants to win. There's no getting away from it, Daryl. You ask anybody, whether owner, jockey, groom, trainer, they have one goal in mind. That's to win a Derby, and in this province, it's the BC Derby.
So who we got, Tom? Who are the big horses coming in on the weekend?
You got about, there's 18 nominated, but I believe it will be about 10 will go into the race. And you have K.K. Sangara purchase a horse called Celtic Dreamin', who's won his last two. And he's coming in from Southern California. He just won two races at Del Mar. So K.K.'s horse is coming in, and he is named Celtic Dreamin', a pretty nice three-year-old. And you have Footprint, who won the Canadian Derby in Alberta. He's coming in to run a race. There's a few horses coming from out of province. So this is, you know, it's the old cliche, but if there's one race you wanted to see, this would be it. Let's rephrase it, though. If there was one weekend you wanted to come to the races, this would be it. And then you also have the local horse. And that would be Sir Galovic, Glenn Todd, and Patrick Kinsella's three-year-old, who's been annihilating the horses here at Hastings in his category ever since he arrived here from Belmont Park in New York. Very impressive colt, good-looking dude, too. So it's going to be a wide-open race in the sense that a number of horses can win it, which is great for the public because they get a chance to get a price on a few horses. I don't think there's any outstanding horses.
And we've got a lot of neat races leading up to this one, Tom?
Yeah, it's really outstanding. You, on the day before, you have the 125. Incidentally, the Derby's worth $250,000, which is not something to sneeze about.
Nope.
But on Saturday, they have the BC Oaks worth $125,000. And that could be quite interesting because that's when everybody's wondering if Monashee is going to show up and race in it. And for those who are not aware of Monashee, she already has won 9 in a row, and I think it's a record, and she'll be trying for a 10th. The big issue there is, if she goes, can they make that race go? She's not in the Oaks. She's in the Del Colleen, but back to the Oaks. It's a pretty wide-open race. You have a Swiss Sophisticated Star, who local horse players will be aware of. She's annihilated. She's won her last race. You have Suver, owned by Jeffrey Singara, and you have Napper. Outstanding three-year-olds competing in this race. And you have a horse who I looked at this morning when we were out filming her for the Sporting Kings, coming in from Emerald Downs, and she's called Rivitella. And what a gorgeous filly this is. It's another older mare, but she's not a three-year-old, but she can run a three-year-old filly. So, putting this perspective, the Oaks is for three-year-old fillies, the Derby's for three-year-old colts. Then you have the Delta Colleen for the older mare, which is worth $50,000. Then you have the Sir Winston Churchill with $60,000 for the older horses. So everybody gets a kick at the can. All your good horses will be on display this weekend at Hastings.
How's the year been at Hastings so far, Tom?
I would think it's going well. The biggest problem is obviously is the anticipation of the slot machines. Still no word on when they're coming in. Hopefully they'll be in October. That's what the industry's hoping. But we've heard it so many times, but that's been the only discouraging part about the whole season is the anticipation with those slot machines. So other than that, good horses. The jocks have been riding well, keeping out of trouble, and the public's been getting their money's worth. The last week, an example, Saturday and Sunday were 10 races on each day, full fields. And you can notice when there are full fields that the handle is bigger because the smart bettors rather bet into a bigger field because there's better prices. So the last 2 days we've had, the last 2 weekends, we've had an increase in the mutual handle basically because the size of the fields are bigger.
Right. And Tom, just want to get back to the slot machines, though, is, mm-hmm. you know, you mentioned October, so basically, this is a lesson for people in Vancouver. If you ever want to start something, buyer beware, hey?
Well, how many times have you seen it happen? Especially, you know, how about the people at the Whitecaps connections?
Well, that exactly.
I mean, they're getting buried. That guy's putting Kerfoot, I believe his name is not.
Yeah.
He's putting up his own money, and man, the hoops that they put this fella through. His own money on his own land. I mean, I don't get it.
$15 million we're talking here.
Yeah. You know, and he's not asking anything of anybody. You know, it's not like the teams in the U.S. when they want something, any professional team, they want the city to put them, they want the taxpayer to foot the bill. Here, this man wants no one to put the bill but himself to foot the bill. And that's criminal. And that's, and plus, you know, a great Canadian. I mean, they could. You know, who knows how much money they're into this. I mean, $20 million to start off, you know, start it off, and plus they got Fraser Downs running. I mean, they wanted to get this, make BC a great spot to race in, and the city just keeps kicking them in the ass here. It's not the city now. I got to correct myself.
Yeah, where are we at, Tom? I'm a little lost because, you know, this is a thing. It's been quite a grind to even attempt to follow this horse racing slot machine issue. And, you know, you give up at times and you pick up the paper. You don't even know where they're at anymore. Where are we at? Because you mentioned October, and I got to plead a little ignorant here, Tom. I've just kind of lost it the last little bit. Where are we at with these slot machines right now?
Well, nothing's been confirmed yet. They're hoping. That's a big word, hope. They're hoping to have them in sometime in October. That's a big if. But I think the biggest thing, and I think we all should realize that Great Canadian Gaming, GCGC, they own the racetrack, but they have to sign a lease with the city, because you know, and you have to admire them. But they put up $20 million. They probably got $40 million at least into the project, and they won't own the grounds. So I can understand how they want the I's to be dotted properly, since they don't own the property. And I can understand the city wanting the I's dotted properly because of the revenue that's going in. But everybody wins in this. But, you know, what's taking them so long? I think it's, once again, it comes down to Great Canadian. They got to have it right. They're a public company, and they have to have everything done right. They have to, once again, have their I's dotted properly. And the city wants to take the best shot they can. So hopefully cool heads will prevail. We understand there's only one minor hang-up left, but to be honest, we've heard it from five. There's only five things, four things, three things. Now we're down to the one signature has to be the I's have to be dotted one more time, and hopefully we'll get that resolved.
So when are we finding this out, Tom? When's the meeting?
Oh, I don't know. No, I have never said nothing about a meeting. They're hoping to get them done in October as far as when it's going to get done. A lot of stuff is done in secrecy, only because it is a public company, I believe. You know, they trade on the Canadian Toronto Stock Exchange, so you know, it's not a case where one owner can call the shots when he wants to. This all has to be done so nothing leaks out ahead of time and pisses off the stockholders, right?
And, Tom, I know you're a big basketball fan, and I apologize that you won't get to see Greg Oden play this year. I apologize.
Yeah, isn't that sad? That's kind of tragic that the guy got hurt. Seriously hurt, huh?
Yeah, it sounds like he might never be the same again.
Well, that's hard to say. I mean, but right now, I'm not concentrating on basketball. I concentrate on football right now, NFL. As you know, that is my, I guess, my second love, because horse racing would be number one.
But yeah.
I'm a do-and-a-die NFL fan. In fact, if we don't work on Sundays, no one calls me home because I won't pick up the phone. That's how much of a fan I am of NFL. And I heard you talking about New England, and how strong do they look? And I have them in a pool, and I bet a friend of mine, and when they played their first game, I was so naive. I didn't know they had Randy Moss.
Gotta get on it here, Tom.
Well, when I heard that, I said, well, my bet's looking pretty good here.
There you go. What odds you got? What odds you got? Or this is just a...
I'm in a survivor pool with some friends.
Yeah.
So you know how that works.
Yeah, I know how that works, yeah.
So
I escaped. Denver pulled it off for me on Sunday in that one for me.
Did you get lucky there? Let me tell you, I did. Neither of those teams wanted to win. Denver played Oakland, did they not?
Yeah, they played Oakland, yeah.
Neither team wanted to win. They kept missing field goals, and it was just just a case of who got luckies at the end. So you did escape the bullet there. Would you go back to him if you could bet on him again?
Well, you can't bet on
them. I know you can't, but would you use them again if you could?
I guess so. Sure, why not? Tom, I don't win these anyways. I just, you know, I'm just waiting to lose.
You just put your money in, right?
Exactly. I'm one of those guys.
Hey, what about Rags to Riches? I wonder if our audience knows what happened to the Philly that won the Belmont.
I actually don't know what happened to the Philly that won the Belmont. Tell us what happened to Rags to Riches. I'm very interested.
Well, she injured her right foreleg.
Oh, no.
And it's not enough to end her career, but it's enough to put her on the shelf for 6 months, so it's kind of tragic.
But she's going to keep racing is what you're telling us here.
Well, yeah, she'll be off for 6 months, and they're going to try. The intentions of the owners were to run her next year anyway because she's a mare. Well, she'll be a mare as a four-year-old, and they wanted to do something that was for the public that was well-deserving, and that was have a superstar run in their four-year-old year. As we talked about before, that's been our biggest...
Yeah, Tom, that is actually, in my mind, a huge, huge downfall of horse racing right now.
Yep.
Is the fact, you know, you had Funny Side, and that's it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, and my producer on the Sporting Kings came up with a novel idea, and I don't know if it's been bounced around, but there has to be a solution. And, what about making all the triple... It will never happen. But making all the Triple Crown races run when they're four-year-olds and keeping these horses around the next year.
Yeah, you know what you'll have? You'll have them throwing imposters out there. Tom, and you've said it. There's just too much money involved,
and
it's hard to tell a guy. I know your horse is worth $40 million, but you have to race them 10 more times and risk injury, just so you know that. Please. Yeah. I mean, I just can't. It's tough.
But there has to, there has to be an alternative to keep these superstars going. What it is, I don't know, because you're not going to tell an owner that he has to turn down $40 million or horse because he's just going to. Hey, and what about the other horse, the $16 million horse, Green Monkey?
Tell us about him.
Well, you don't know?
No, I don't.
Okay, this is when two of the largest, wealthiest owners in the world, from Dubai and one from England, got together and at the sale 2 years ago, and they bought a yearling called Green Monkey. This was last year. They got the bid up to $16 million. These two fellows were bidding against each other. When it hit $16 million, one fellow finally dropped out a lot of money for anything.
Yeah.
And so he was the much-anticipated debut everybody was waiting on, and it was supposed to be early in the year, and everybody was wondering what happened to the Green Monkey. Well, he made his first start last Saturday in a maiden race, and for a maiden race for our listeners, that's they're in against horses that have never won a race. And he was finally, made his first start, and he finished third.
Oh, no.
And he was supposed to be, everybody was hoping it was the next big coming of...
Secretariat for that kind of money, yeah.
But what people fail to realize, in the industry and everywhere, we all fail to realize that not what you buy or what you pay that makes a horse or anything worth that money. It's what they do after. So the $16 million was a great error of judgment on one part, but it made the breeder who bought this horse originally for $180,000, then he sold it back for $400,000, and then the person from England, he bought the horse for $16 million. What a profit, huh?
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, could be the biggest kerfuffle in horse racing history if the Green Monkey doesn't win a race.
Okay, so I'd actually like to follow this. I'm going to start following this one. We're going to follow. How old is he right now? He's a two-year-old.
Two-year-old.
Oh, so he's going to be racing in the Triple Crowns, or he should have already raced in the Triple Crowns.
Oh no, they were hoping that he would. No, he's a three-year-old. Excuse me.
Yeah, so he's done racing the Triple Crowns. What you're telling me?
Yeah, they were trying to get him to the Derby, but they never got a chance. So he never races a two-year-old. Let me back up, not confuse everybody.
Yeah.
Bought as a yearling. They waited for him to run as a two-year-old. Everybody did, the racing world and those within the industry never raced. And he was supposed to make his debut so he could run in the Derby. He never made it there. He missed all the Triple Crown races, and he finally made his start, Saturday, and got beaten pretty badly.
Well, Tom, I'll say this. If you got $16 million to spend on a horse, you can afford to lose the money, I'm sure.
I don't think it hurt anybody in their wallet.
Yeah, I hear you. Awesome. Tom, I got to get going. Promote your TV show this weekend.
Well, this Saturday, we're going to try to help everybody pick the winner of both of those major races. We're doing a preview of the Derby, and we spent quite a bit of time, resources, looking at these horses, getting footage, what they call B-roll of all the starters. And so we're going to be promoting the the big day Saturday and Sunday on our Sporty Kings program. And in about 3 weeks, 2 weeks, we're going to be doing something that everybody would like to do, including yourself. We're doing our 300th television show.
Oh, wow.
16 years we've been doing the Sporty Kings, and we've hit our 300th show about four shows ago, and we're going to celebrate in about 2 weeks when the time comes up. So we're quite proud of that. As you know, being in the business.
Yeah, good for you, man.
Yeah.
Good for you. Tom Wolski. Tom, thanks a bundle.
Thank you as always, Al.
Talk to you soon. All right, that was Tom Wolski from the Vancouver Province and the Sporty Kings Television Show. I'd like to thank all my guests, Brian Bass, Brian B.J. Bass from Nevada, Las Vegas, Mike Mosher from the UBC Thunder men's soccer team, and that is it. And the band we played for you all day today, Five Alarm Funk. Hopefully you enjoyed them. If you did, check out their MySpace page. Lots of goodies there. I saw them once at Plaza of Nations, and I think they were recently at the Commodore. So check out Five Alarm Funk, a local. They're all from they're a Vancouver-based band. 12-piece guys and 12-piece band in there. So, yeah, hopefully you enjoyed them. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. Mike!
Yay!
See?
You got it right.
See, I'm learning. Do you know, Mike, I had a very mild concussion?
From that bump,
yeah. Very mild. See, I got a little gash still here.
Triangle gash.
I got a little gash still going on here. And I think it was from... when my head banged, the doctor told me, I saw him today, because I'm still sort of getting a little woozy at times and everything.
You saw him?
Yeah.
It was a week ago.
Yeah, I did it a week ago. Well, you think it's nothing when you do these things, right? Is I got these little pinches in the back of my head, and I thought, I'm a little worried about that, is it's apparently from the little whiplash in my neck, which I got from when I banged it. It's fine. I'm going to be fine, he says. There's nothing wrong. It's just, you know, you got to get through it. And there you go. So I actually was playing hurt last week.
There you go.
I was so tough. I was so tough.
That's right.
Oh, man. Man!
There was no whining, no nothing.
No, I was a machine. Anyways, that's it. Thanks to me. I thanked my guest. Mike with Flex Your Head is coming up right after this. Station ID from CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Look into a book, you might just say, I had fun just like Run, DMC and Jay.
Flash your Friends of CITR card and get discounts at Lucky's Comics, RX Comics, Magpie Magazine, People's Co-op Bookstore, and Spartacus Books. Support CITR and pick up your card today.